very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am
king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
turn.
Your fingers or your
king
doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
He's one,
but
your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king. I'm telling mother. Oh.
Welcome to the Joffrey of Podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me, as always, is you, the Double L's. Double L's, you, the loyal listeners. I want to say we have a big feedback show coming up this week. We're going to get to some Facebook and Twitter feedback that we just received several days after the last Game of Thrones episode's Oathbreaker aired. We're also going to go back, and we're going to get some feedback from Periscope, which we got right in after the episode aired. We're going to have a Game of Thrones accent contest, which may not shock you, might offend many people in the world with ears. But you'll want to see who, Bubba, Catfish, or Mork, has the best Game of Thrones accent. We'll have some brief thoughts on the new The Winds of Winter preview chapter that was just released by A Song of Ice and Fire author George R.R. Martin, but we're going to try to stay away from any spoilers at all. We're going to have a quick shout out to podcasts that are kind enough to support us. And we're going to end the podcast with our Better Call calls. Those are our predictions of what's going to come up later in this season, including a couple Better Call calls from our Double L's. But we're going to start off with our infamous contest entry begging, which I believe many Double L's maybe. I've heard this so many times, I don't want to hear it ever again. But just for any new people who've come to love King Joffrey since he's avoided the show recently, I do have to say that Catfish and I, we are not professionals. This podcast cost us money. And while the Game of Thrones Twitter account has been kind enough to mail me some Game of Thrones goodies, which I've given away on the podcast as prizes, a lot of times we're buying these prizes out of our own wallets, our own gold dragons, if you will. Why do we do this? We do this show because we love His Grace King Joffrey and his double F's, his fanatic fans, which we assume you are because you're downloading and listening to it in wonderfully high numbers. So when you tweet out tweets with the hashtag Joffrey of Podcasts, or when you go to our Facebook page, that's facebook.com/doublepodcast, that's the word double, the letter P, and the word podcast plural, and you like that page, or you're kind enough to go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a written review, well, let me say, it lets us know that you love King Joffrey. We want to give you prizes for honoring him. And if we don't say it enough, it is an honor to do this podcast for you Double L's. Okay, enough with honest emotions, and let's get back to the podcast as it typically is. We're going to start off with two new bits of feedback. One is we have a great Double L, Michael Killey, that's at Mike Killey, which is K-I-L-L-I on Twitter. He tweeted out, he said he loves Catfish's Wyndham shoutouts to on the Joffrey podcast. That's the Wyndham shoutouts to the Wyndham wizard who is proud. I always say if for some reason you don't live in the United States or places where there are Wyndham hotels, the wonderful actor who plays Tormund Giantsbane, he is always in these commercials pitching hotels from Wyndham. And we mention it on the show. It's a reference that if you've seen the commercial, you get. If you haven't seen the commercial, you think, why am I downloading this podcast? And so that was so nice of Michael Killey to write that. But guess what? The Double W responded. That's right. The Wyndham Wizard Twitter account, that corporate account managed by an 18-year-old in Nebraska. He tweeted out and he said he agreed with Mike Killey and he thanked Catfish and I for the mention, and he says the Double W, the Wyndham Wizard, is a Double L, hearts Joffrey of Podcasts. Thank you so much, Wyndham Wizard. I'm about to go on a trip in July up to Vancouver and Seattle, and now I want to stay in a Wyndham hotel. And so if that sounds like an ad, it's because we are begging for corporate sponsorship.
I'm telling mother.
Enough of that. Let's get to some great detailed feedback from one of our great Double L's, Patman23 on Twitter. He wrote this, though, on our Facebook page. He wrote, "Hey, I was hoping to address some of Mork's criticism of the show Game of Thrones, particularly Mork's disbelief that the High Sparrow could wield such secular power and the Crown not be able to do anything about it." Pat says, "Due to the Lannister forces warring in the Riverlands," and that was part of the War of Five Kings, there have been a ton of refugees with anti-Lannister sentiment that have been flooding into the city, King's Landing. The radicalized faith militant has snatched these people up, these refugees up. Actual Lannister troops are stuck in the Riverlands, keeping the peace since the province has just been an open rebellion, and it would probably turn against the crown as well as those evil Freys if not for the peacekeeping forces, aka the Lannister forces that are there. Ever since Robb Stark outmaneuvered Tywin at the Twins / Green Fork, that was a battle at the end of Season 1 there, and River Run, Lannister troops have been stretched thin. Pat concludes, so it's not unbelievable that the crown is basically stuck in the Red Keep while the Faith Militant have the monopoly on violence in the city proper, outnumbering the City Watch. Now, let me jump in here. This is my, Bubba's note on Pat's note, and let me say, Pat, that is a great explanation. You did a wonderful job. In Mork's defense, I would say the show has not done a great job explaining this or showing this to us. There was a stray line in the first episode of Season 5 at Tywin's funeral where Kevin Lannister said, "Ooh, these sparrows are flooding into King's Landing." But this is a television show, and there's a reason why they teach in screenwriting classes, show, don't tell. We need to see it. There's a reason why there's the phrase, a picture is worth a thousand words. And so if the show had somehow been able to show us these refugees, these people flooding in, how could they do it easily and quickly? Well, I think of the last episode had Arya having a training montage there in Braavos. What if you just kind of constantly had little scenes all throughout Season 5 and the end of Season 4 or the beginning of Season 5 of all these people coming in? That might have explained it better to a show-only fan like Mork, so he'd be able to comprehend this situation a bit better. There's the flip side argument that says this show only has 10 episodes, it has so much to go through, it couldn't afford to film extra scenes of just extras, peasants coming into the city, and spend that time on that when the show needs to spend so much time elsewhere. But I honestly believe if they could have done this, show-only viewers like Mork would better understand the situation you're talking about. What I love that Pat wrote, though, is that Pat continued his statement on Facebook where he said, this situation, you know, faith taking over city, it's not unbelievable. And it closely mirrors a 14th century peasant revolt in jolly old England, when a radical clergyman organized a large mob of peasants, led in part by the soldier Wat Tyler, and they marched to London, capturing the city, forcing the 14-year-old king to flee. The crown's troops were stuck in northern England, or they were fighting abroad, and this took place during the time period of the infamous Hundred Years' War with France. Those peasants that were threatening force for several months eventually were crushed, and Pat believes that's probably what's going to happen to the sparrows. And Pat says if anybody has any interest, he wrote about this in two separate blog posts, and there are links for those blog posts on our Facebook page. I'll be back with some more recent feedback we've got, but for now, you've heard my voice way too much. Let's bring in Catfish and Mork and get to our live feedback after the episode aired from Periscope.
I am the king.
What are the chances that our Grace King Joffrey is really the Night's King? They have similar jawlines. Admittedly, George hasn't released the next book yet, and it didn't. The way the Joffrey preview chapter was, I'm not sure that's true.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
there can be only one king, and so that's maybe. How's this? I'll say a whopping maybe.
Well, wow. I mean, I think it's possible because that's how cool King Joffrey is.
He's very cool. I mean, you better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, replying, we had our friend at IamKing_45, Justin from Brooklyn, yeah, agreed with Terrible Tia. He said they need to stop trying to be funny, especially when writing for Tyrion. He's so annoying this year. You know, I have to respectfully disagree with that.
What do you mean by that?
Tyrion, I need to see more Tyrion. That's all.
Okay.
I need to see more Tyrion.
Right.
I love Tyrion. He's one of my favorite characters.
Oh,
he's
evil Uncle Tyrion.
He's the only 100%. One who brings any humor at all to this damn show.
Yeah, but he's not funny on purpose. He's just, you know, funny looking.
Yeah, and as Terrible Tia says, the one funny scene with the Dothraki was enough. They're not a comedic people overall. Good.
No. Okay.
Good point. Someone on Periscope asked this. They say, I want to see more Double T.
Double T?
Double T.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to say what Double T is.
Well, we got to wait.
They don't mean it could mean Terrible Tia.
Here is a comment from our great friend Holly Huntspants, who says the showrunners are running out of good dialogue from the books. And so, let me give you a shout out, Holly Huntspants. I felt like last week when Tyrion was with the dragons, then he got to the top of the stairs and he was like, you know, if I ever suggest doing something so stupid again, punch me in the face.
Right.
That was kind of like a modern, you know, you would hear that line, dare I say it, on
cheesy
cop shows in the 80s and all sorts of stuff.
Well, that kind of brings up a good question, you know.
What's the question?
When, Bubba, when you and I saw the special showing of the first episode last year.
Of season 5,
and then they did a Q&A with some of the showrunners. They did mention one of the people who was in the writing room who wasn't really a writer, was just a neighbor of one of the showrunners, and then he ended up writing some episodes. So you have to wonder how much easier it is to write the series when you have a lot of wonderful stuff. And also, quick answer to that question, double T, Tipsy Tyrion.
Okay.
Is he ever really tipsy, though, is the question.
You would think he's like a weeble. He wobbles but doesn't fall down.
Are we allowed to talk about any of the unaired episodes of what King Joffrey's been up to?
No, we can't spoil that.
That's a spoiler for us.
Okay, sorry, guys.
Tia Cookie had another prediction that she gave out in the chat room. She says, I thought a dragon would come for Daenerys, but it looks like it'll be Sir Friendzone.
Yeah.
What a kiss ass, eh? Boys. Yeah, good boy, Sir Friendzone, he owes it to her in some ways because he did report on her to King Robert. And so in some ways, he's responsible for the assassination attempt, which could have killed her baby. So Ser Jorah owes it to her to save her. But I'm not so sure Jorah will save her. I think this show wants to, and even in the books, they like to have Daenerys save herself somehow.
So she can go back to getting captured by someone else.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think Ser Jorah may come and get captured himself. And Dario could get captured themselves.
Well, I'm just wondering, at what point do we stop referring to him as Sir Friendzone and refer to him as Sir Eczema?
Yeah.
Well, how about I kept joking that instead of Sir Friendzone, he becomes Sir Hotzone.
And
Matthew Papa.
A good friend Matthew Papa says maybe Jorah gives Dario grayscale # more fisting.
Yeah.
Oh, brother. That's
it's more fisting, not mork fisting. No. I just want to clarify that, friends.
Yeah, enunciation is important.
Very, very clear.
What episode does Mork think Sir Gregor will finally meet Ramsay for this fisting?
Not soon enough.
Okay.
Not soon enough. Yeah, we need a team of horses.
A friend of ours, another
I want to
heavy
describe the
friend.
Fisting. Can I describe the fisting?
No. Please don't. Susan Stacy at Black Eyed Lily
loves
responded exactly to me. She said, can't the High Sparrow be genuine in his faith and power-seeking?
Yeah.
I think he can, but I think that power corrupts. Either one thing or the other, I think.
He can be genuine, but maybe Black Eyed Lily can explain. So what is it that he's trying to do exactly? He's just trying to keep people faithful and penitent?
Yes,
to what end?
He really believes to the end of in service of the God. So, and this is why
This is all seven.
Right.
Right, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So he can do that and also be seeking power because he needs the power to convince everybody to follow the precepts of the Lord. And this is why I think I agree with Susan that he can be both.
I don't know for what. I mean, like, he can do it, and it's in and of itself, it's beautiful and it's great. Let's do that. But as somebody who I want to watch, you know, it's like watching, you know, if the show was about a maid who goes to a hotel room in the morning and makes the bed and then goes back the next morning and makes the bed again. It's like, okay, great. We've done this, but what's happening here?
Well, what's happening is that the kingdom is no longer being run by the family. It's being run by a religion.
We had a message here on Periscope saying, is there any way that the High Sparrow could be in league with Baelish? Now, this is a bit tinfoil, but remember that we saw Baelish give up Olivar, who is what got Margaery and Loras into prison. He gave up Cousin Lancel, which is what got Cersei into prison. I have to be honest, I don't believe the High Sparrow is in league with Littlefinger. I think that would be a great way to kind of pull things together.
I find that fascinating. I think that's a good call.
Don't think that's true.
I don't think it's true, but I think it's a good idea and a good a good thought.
Is the reason we're not seeing Littlefinger all this year is because he's trying to negotiate a deal right now with the Joffrey, the Ice King? is that what's going on?
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be good. That would be really good. I would love Littlefinger to have.
I'd like to see that scene.
His little fingers in more than one plot.
He's got to be doing something big. He is the he's the reason we're all here after all. So the best way for Ramsay,
John,
the best way for Ramsay to get fisted would be for Sir Gregor to get hit a little bit by a dragon,
right.
So his arm would be on fire, okay. And then commence.
This person asks, will R plus L equals J, meaning will Robert plus Liza equals Joffrey, be revealed in the next episode?
I hope so.
That's another old episode that we went over, R plus L equals J. So if you haven't heard that one, folks, go to the archive and listen to the R plus L, Robert plus Liza Aaron / Liza Tully equals Joffrey. But we can't do any more spoilers on this feedback show.
All right, here we go.
All right, so now we're going to cover some of the tweets that we got in the previous week.
Yeah.
From our loyal listeners in between our show last week and this week.
Let's hear it.
Now, first, we got some general podcast comments.
Let's hear it.
First of all, our old friend Patman23
said,
once again, the Joffrey Podcast has their podcast out the morning after the show. And that is, again, because always remember, either be best or be first. So we will be first whenever we can.
And we'll be better when.
That's what she said.
The Ari of Susans at Barbasu says, we are the masters of ruthless efficiency.
Thank you.
Matt Foster at Fat Monster says, 2 episodes a week? Thank the old gods and the new. Scratch that. Thank King Joffrey.
Exactly right. I was worried you were going to thank the drowned god.
Now, our friend Peter at Baga 2007 says, you still trying to work out how I can cheat to win the prizes? If you want to figure out how to do that, you should tweet directly at the next tweeter that we have. You should tweet at Hunt Pants. She's now the Hound Pants.
Oh, sorry.
At Hunt Pants, who she says, I love Better Call Call. I think she has it reversed, though. I think it's Better C-A-L-L-K-H-A-L.
Better,
but anyway,
she's
the
call.
One who's won a prize in almost every giveaway we've had.
That's true. She's been great that way.
Now, Mark Wack Walker at Dooley's Left Legs, who listens to us overseas at about 5 in the morning, said he just had a double C moment.
Double C?
Yeah. Call, call.
Oh.
He says Hodar freaks out in a storm. Could Willis have been struck by lightning?
I haven't heard that one yet.
And then we got some comments on our Shame Bell. Fat Monster says the new Shame Bell is what's up on the Joffrey Podcast.
Right.
Sean Gregg at Hey Ref says, improved performance by the Shame Bell. Sounds like Melisandre ministrations have beefed it into a Swiss cowbell. And whisper, ha la la, ha la 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 la. That was the ministrations. Now, Bubba, you decided to slip into a little bit of an accent last week. Before I read these next tweets, would you like to give me a little bit of that accent just as a refresher?
No, I'm going to let you read the tweets, then we're going to play a game, the three of us, to see who does the best accent. So let's go.
Okay, Sean Gregan at Hey Ref says, if hashtag tweets were wondering what Joffrey of Podcast feedback episode was referring to, here is my hashtag homage to Bubba's Cockney, and then he had a picture of Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins.
Oh, great American actor.
Oh, yeah.
And he also then tweeted,
tragically killed.
Bubba, Guy Ritchie called, heard your hashtag Mockney accent, and wants you for Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Hey. And he says, hashtag from a northern monkey. Hey, so before we go into any others, different categories, what game did you want to play with us here?
People know that I have the best Cockney accent. When I have to go out for my auditions, you know, I'm a world-class thespian, so I have to have many accents. You go out, you never know.
Right, although you get all your work because of your exquisite eye work.
Way to mention that on an audio podcast, Catfish. That's right.
Well, I just want people to know, as magical as you are,
right?
They're missing like 80%.
80%.
Yeah.
We were talking.
That's right.
Hashtag Tormund saw it.
All right, so guys, we are going to have a Game of Thrones accent off where we're each going to get a chance to do one accent. And I'll let Mork, you choose first. Do you want to do a Flea Bottom accent, a Dothraki accent, or a Dornish accent? Which do you think you can do the best? And then Catfish, you'll pick of the remaining two. And then I'll, I'm the accent master, I'll get what is left. So Mork, you get to go first. Do you want to try to do a Flea Bottom accent, a Dothraki accent?
I'll go Dothraki.
All righty. So here we go. Here is your Dothraki. You've got to read in a Dothraki accent. So let's hear it whenever you're ready, Mort.
I will also pledge gift. I will give him iron chair his mother's father sat upon. I will give him seven kingdoms. I, Drogo, will do this. I will take my Khalasar west to the direction that will last 4 hours.
And thank you.
Okay, it was going okay until it became painful, actually painful to listen to, Mork. I'm really shocked that you don't have a better, more Twitter followers, considering you just subjected sweet listeners to that.
It really started off so good, and then, I don't know, I think he's maybe just incapable of seriousness.
Yes, no. That is it, of course.
I should have
done
that.
All right, Catfish, you can do do you want to do a
flea? I'm going to do the Flea Bottom.
All right, you get to do the Flea Bottom accent. All right, let's hear it.
You've got a grind at that grindstone. Your child slips like sand through a sieve, and all too soon they've up and grown, and then they've flown, and it's too late for you to give just that spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down, just like that top Melisandre went down.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Hashtag more kissing.
Is Melisandre more
okay, here? That was... I think you actually made Dick Van Dyke's Bert sound good with that Flea Bottom accent. So you guys left...
Are you saying my Flea Bottom accent was worse than Mork's Dothraki accent?
It was the bowl of brown of...
Oh, wow.
Flea Bottom accents.
A lot of people don't know this, but sometimes Dothraki men, their testicles will ascend.
All right, so I get to do the Dornish accent, and I picked a very special script to read this for the Dornish accent. All right, so you ready?
Yeah.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. The best tacos are made in Trump Tower Grill. I love Hispanics. You like a good girl, but you need a bad pussy.
Oh, my God.
It's like I'm from Dorne.
Oh, God. All right, let's cover it. We've got a couple more. That was okay. That was a beautiful moment that it will remain in
that
podcast
will be edited
history.
Out entirely.
No, perfect. About Joffrey and the revival of Jon. Jonathan Teglin at Teglin Jonathan says,
yeah.
It is obvious the resurrection of Jon is totally foreshadowing the return of our beloved king.
I love it.
Peter at Bagot 2007 said, it is time that King Joffrey is now referred to as God Joffrey. Ooh. After all, he is a god in the books. Ooh, spoiler alert.
Spoilers.
That's what they say. And Sean Gregan at Hey Ref says, the other hashtag double M that have could fixed Jon, it has to do with the mutton. From Princess Bride. Mm. So I don't know what the other M is, but it's mutton. No, is it mostly mutton?
You don't remember this, guys. It was like Miracle Max was
Miracle
his name.
Max. Oh, Miracle Max. Okay, I thought he had to do with the mutton. When it's very sweet, the mutton. Matt Foster at Fat Monster agreed with me. Said, I thought the new Greyjoy looked a lot like Theon too. So even though Bubba was giving me a hard time, that other people agreed with me. And that's all that we have from the previous week. We love our loyal listeners for reaching out to us and letting us know and for sticking with us on Periscope. And we have one last comment from someone on Periscope who wants to know, does anyone else fast forward through scenes with Sam and Gilly in them? Ooh.
Ooh, we don't fast forward, but
you
we
see
had
them
some
so
people
rarely.
Who really didn't like them. You guys really didn't like those scenes, so.
No, and some people were very, very upset with this episode tonight. A couple of people said that was it. They're done. They walk away from the series. At this point in the series, walk away seems... I mean, I don't quite know what happened.
Right.
I don't fault people if something pushes them over
the
edge.
We don't fault you.
But I don't know what it is. Oh, someone does indeed, though. They said they yell at the screen,
Skip ahead! I've been very busy. Okay, let me jump in again because we got so much great feedback in these days after the episode aired. I want to get to some of it. On Facebook, a great double L, Ian Keane, wrote, poor Tommen. He tried so hard to emulate his grace, King Joffrey, when he said, I am the king, to the High Sparrow, but he just didn't have the righteous conviction that sweet King Joffrey did/has.
Nice try, kid. Ian, way to attack usurper Brother Tommen. Now, if you listen to our review of the episode Oathbreaker on our podcast we released Sunday night, Monday morning, you know, there was a big disagreement between Catfish and I and Mork about whether this episode was good or not. And we've had some great feedback about the show as well, so let's get to that. A big part of this episode, obviously, was what I like to call the double F, the flashback fight between Ned and Arthur Dayne. And on the show, some people had some strong feelings about it. I got this great feedback from a book reader, Graham Simonelli, and he wrote, "Just imagine if the show had had the correct number of Kingsguard, the correct number of Northmen, and the correct dialogue with the Dayne fight scene. It would have been a true, wonderful moment instead of a moment of shite." Ooh, Graham's tough words. Love them fighting words. Possibly on the flip side, or possibly just agreeing with where the scene ended, on Twitter we had Matt Salmons, who's at King Salmons, that's S-A-L-M-O-N-S. He wrote, "The audience have to see that Ned wasn't perfect if Bran is to believe a popular theory that might be revealed very soon. Otherwise, Bran would be what he likes to call a double B." And of course I was like, "Double B?" And Matt wrote, "A blindsided Bran who just can't trust the Stark narrative." Thank you so much, Matt. On the flip side, Jack Klompas, who's at BTMac11 on Twitter, he said, "Was it Arthur Dayne's wife who gave Arthur the title Sword of the Morning? Hashtag Morningwood." Oh, no, you didn't. Jack, you know I liked it. But for everybody who didn't like that joke, here is baby shame bell. Also, we had our wonderful double L, Peter, who's at Baga2007 on Twitter. He wrote, "He's getting a bit sick of Bran's vision. They could be using this time on the show to show us visions of Joffrey, our god." And that is a great point, but when they're going to reveal that His Grace King Joffrey is out there fighting the real usurpers, as the people in the Reach say, je ne sais pas. We had more feedback on this double F, the flashback fight, and that is Tia Cookie, who's at @terrible_Tia on Twitter. She says that it's obvious that old three-eyed Raven knows he's got 7 more episodes to fill. That's why he didn't want Bran to really go in the tower. And Jake Ponser responded, he thought cutting it off before we went in the tower was a good idea. He said, "From a cinematic/artistic perspective, I'm glad they're going to give us a little time. But from a character motivation standpoint," he says, "it doesn't make any sense. Basically, why the double F?" And double F in his words stands for flying F word. "Is the three-eyed Raven showing Bran the past at all?" That is a great question, Jake. Has the show explained why in the world the three-eyed Raven is showing Bran flashbacks? Like when we last saw them way back at the end of season 4, Bran's like, "Will I walk?" Three-eyed Raven's like, "Don't think so, kid." And then Bran was like, "Well, what's going to happen?" And the three-eyed Raven said, "But you will fly." Now, if that's where the audience was left off thinking, okay, he's going to teach Bran how to fly, but he's not really teaching Bran how to fly. Instead, he's showing them these flashbacks. Hopefully, viewers are enjoying them, but we haven't exactly found out why this is happening. What a wonderful point, Jake. Excellent work. And then, we all know that the three-eyed Raven keeps telling Bran, "You have to learn everything." And our great friends at Geek Girl Soup, that's Geek Girl Soup on Twitter, and they have a wonderful podcast. They said, whenever they hear the three-eyed Raven say, "You must learn," they think of who? KRS-One. Woohoo! 80s rapper shout out. Heck yeah. To be honest, I was more of a Public Enemy person than KRS-One, but hey, that's just me. We had another double L who was disappointed with this episode of Oathbreaker. It's Jean Martinek, and I always hope it's Jean and not Jan or Jan. And I apologize for the whichever way I got it wrong, or if I still haven't gotten it right in one of those three options, please like us on Facebook and give us a review on iTunes. I'm just kidding. He wrote, he's listening to the Joffrey podcast and he's having fun today with this episode, but he only gives it 4 fists out of 10. And that fist reference, we apologize. Hopefully you paid attention to the show. On the opposite side, we had a double L who claims to have quote unquote gotten hyped. It's Jonathan Teglin, who's at Teglin Jonathan. That's T-E-G-L-E-N-J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N. He wrote, Rick and Inosha, the
The Battle of Marine, Ninja Aria, Battle of the Bastards, and this tower fight. So much setup. It's really got me hyped. Heck yeah, Jonathan. We had some feedback just about our podcast from the wonderful Twitter friend Jacqueline Mukui, and that's MUQUI24 on Twitter. She said, I'm still a double L, and she hasn't been disappointed. We're normally at our funniest during our terrible prediction, so stand by for some great Better Call calls coming up. We had some feedback on the Jon Snow part of the story, where Jake Ponzer, who's at JPonzer93, he wrote, if Thorne and company are no longer in the Night's Watch, why leave? Of course they're not in the Night's Watch. They're in the Watch Everything from a dead stare as you're hanging from a rope watch. He's like, why should Jon leave? Seems like the Wildlings are in charge now. Also talking about Jon Snow, we had Tariq Latif, who's at TARIQLATIF42 on Twitter. He wrote about Jon's final action taking out the quote-unquote Oathbreakers, where he said, now that's what I call some serious AAA action. AAA. Alistair's auto-asphyxiation. Say that three times fast. Alistair's auto-asphyxiation. Okay. One time slowly. It was apparently all I could do. And we had our great friend Stephanie Persephone, who's at SM Persephone on Twitter. She wrote, that was amazing having Jon Snow come back from the dead. And she says, I bet Tormund has a Giants Bane member. Heck yeah. If you heard our original Oathbreaker review podcast, you know somehow the subject matter of fisting came up. Thank you so much, Mork. And so on Twitter, we had at Dooley's Left Leg ask, is there going to be hashtag less fisting next week? And let me say, please, God, yes. Please, please, God, yes. We had this great Twitter handle, which is Write a Revolution, and they're at Write a Revo on Twitter. They asked, they said, regarding quote-unquote Sir Gregor, didn't Qyburn introduce him last season as his book pseudonym, Robert Strong, or am I mistaken? And this was a point I put on the show review podcast where I said, you know, there's some other podcasts out there who just assumed that the show had called him by his book pseudonym, Robert Strong. But the show never mentioned the words Robert Strong. And of course, I never tried to say the words Robert Strong on our podcast because why bring in book knowledge if it wasn't important? I wish other podcasts were as great. Speaking of other podcasts, hey, it's time for me to give a shout out to some of the great podcasts who've been kind enough to support the Joffrey podcast. I'm going to give a shout out, number one, to the Podcast Winterfell feed and Double M Matt Murdock. This podcast, the Joffrey podcast, wouldn't exist if Matt Murdock hadn't been kind enough to invite me to be a guest on his show. And our show is a bit of a spinoff special from Podcast Winterfell. So everybody, please subscribe and check that out. Admittedly, now it's much more of a book podcast, but I think you'll enjoy it. Also got to give a shout out to our friend Heath's The Film List, the wonderful podcast from our friends Geek Girl Soup. If you love podcasts on SoundCloud, do me a favor, download Dropping Knowledge. Wonderful, fun wackiness on that. I don't think they cover fisting as much as us, thank God. And finally, Snow Lisi. If you follow Snow Lisi on Twitter, she has a podcast entitled Pop Culture Binge. A lot of fun, a lot of voices that aren't stupid men like Catfish and I, so check them out.
Many important matters require King's attention.
Right, you know, we are not a book podcast per se. We've covered the Joffrey POV chapters, which I promise you should download from our back catalog of podcasts for a wonderful, insightful read. But people have asked me about my thoughts on the preview chapter that was just released by George R.R. Martin from his upcoming book in the Song of Ice and Fire saga entitled The Winds of Winter. It's about a character who doesn't appear on the show. So I want to give my thoughts but not spoil it for non-book readers and be quick because non-book readers may not particularly care. My quick thoughts on the chapter are it's a chapter that's not going to appear on the show. And this specific chapter is very much world-building chapter. It describes a part of Westeros that the novels nor the show have really been to or covered before, but the plot doesn't really advance in any way. These are the type of chapters that caused my co-host Catfish to stop reading the books, for goodness sake. It kind of has a meandering plot, and that's a kind way to describe it. But it does contain so many descriptions of landscape that I'm sure some of the double L's would scream, "Skip ahead!" Now, that's my opinion. I think that's how Catfish would react. But of course, I want to hear other opinions. I know our double L Susan Stacy at Black Eyed Lily on Twitter would vehemently disagree with everything I just said. So I say, hey, if you've read that preview chapter, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/doublepodcasts and tell us what you think. Try to keep show spoilers out and just talk about this specific chapter. Tell us why you like it. Tell us why you maybe have similar opinions to myself. But hey, that's where I want the discussion to go.
I'm king now. King now.
All right, we're going to get to our Better Call calls now. But before I get to Catfish, Mork, and my Better Call calls, you know what? You listeners, you're great. You're smarter than us, for goodness sake. And so I want to throw out some of your Better Call calls. On Twitter, Jake Bonser has a Better Call call where he says, I had a small feeling that Arya might die and her face would be used by Jaqen to kill Jon Snow in Westeros. Whew! That is a half-court shot. Love it. Intriguing. I think some show watchers might not like it because we all know that if Jon Snow is going to be actually finally killed by somebody and stay dead, it's going to be by somebody I like to call His Grace. On Facebook, we got a Better Call call from Matt Papa, who says, okay, how's this for a Better Call call? We have seen the Three-Eyed Raven pull Bran out of both visions by putting a hand on his shoulder. We've also seen in the Season 6 trailers that in one of Bran's visions, the White Walker, Night's King, puts his hand on Bran's shoulder. So this is my Better Call call, is that one of the later visions of Bran will have to be the coming winter. And in that vision, the White Walker, Night's King, will somehow take the place of the Three-Eyed Raven and bring Bran out of his vision. Oh, snap. That is great, Matt Papa. Whew. This is why you go to our Facebook page. Hot takes, hot takes. Our final Better Call call from a listener kind of spoils one that I'm going to mention a bit later on. And it shows great minds think alike. Sarvesh. And I'm not going to try to pronounce Sarvesh's last name, but he's on Twitter at SRVSH_C. He says, if Gilly's child equals Sam Tarly's son, which is what Gilly and Sam are going to be presenting, that little Sam is actually Samwell Tarly's own son, biological son, then Sarvesh asks, isn't that baby the heir to House Tarly, a.k.a. the keep called Horn Hill? And, ooh, boy, you're having the exact same thought I did, Sarvesh. Sarvesh wrote another tweet where he said, so will Randall Tarly dish out some Gregor-style baby killing, or Ramsay-style baby killing, or the originator, King Joffrey, got rid of all those bastards. I'm sick of all these double Cs, these copycats. Joffrey made sure that he was the only legitimate heir. What can you do? Of course, this was also tweeted by Sarvesh, not only to me, but our good friends at the History of Westeros podcast. And the History of Westeros, once again, is taking this from kind of a general idea that says, you know, no, this baby Sam, even if they believe Samwell is the actual biological father, technically, unless Samwell married Gilly, which I don't think they're going to say, the baby is a bastard and Sam took the black. Therefore, the baby couldn't be the heir. Sam's younger brother would have to be the heir. I'm going to cover this a bit in my Better Call call, but this is what we love. People, tweet us out with the hashtag Joffrey Podcast or go to the Facebook page and give us a Better Call call. This is some great stuff. Now let's hear what Mork, Catfish, and I have to say. Now it's time, guys.
What is it time for?
It's time for our Better Call calls.
Okay, Better Call
call. So we're Better Call call when you have to call the call of callers. So, I had one earlier, and that was, let's say it again, Jon Snow is going to leave. He's going to leave Castle Black and go with Sansa and people and go and try to recruit people to help come to the wall. He'll go to other northern houses and be like, hey, we need people at the wall because they're dead or coming. When Jon Snow leaves, I believe Ramsay's forces are going to come up, and this is a sad prediction. I believe they're going to kill Ed. They're going to destroy Castle Black. And then whatever force is left is going to be led by Jon to fight him. So that is my Better Call call. Do you guys have any other Better Call calls? Any, you know, forward thinking, just wild speculation, whatever you have?
Well, I think that Theon, he's obviously going to, if anyone saw the see you on next week, we're going to see him back with his sister.
Right.
And I predict that not only is he going to ask her to refer to him as Reek,
yeah,
but he's going to get make a colorful sign out of painted rocks to put on his door outside that said, Reek's room, knock before entering. That's my Better Call Call.
All right, you got one forward crazy prediction if you want it. You know, tinfoil, anything
you want. I think we're finally going to see the musical that the Lord of the Vale has been practicing this entire time.
What is that?
Well, I think we're going to get to see it. I don't know what it is, but that kid is crazy, so it's going to be good.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, I've got one more.
Hold on. One of our listeners says what I agree with. If Jon Snow heads south, he's going to have to deal with Bolton first before he grabs anybody. He's got to take care of that, especially if he hooks up with Sansa first. He's going to be pissed.
Okay. This is my Better Call Call, and that is, I had my crazy one that the Ramsay's forces are going to destroy Castle Black. Here I'm going to go even further. Last week, what did we see? We saw Ramsay kill a brother, a baby brother, a literal baby brother.
Right.
Because he didn't want anybody claiming his position in line of the hierarchy. Here's mine. And that is that Sam said he's going to take baby Sam and Gilly to his family at Horn Hill, his family's keep there. And so, of course, what is Sam's baby? Sam's baby is yet again a threat to the legitimacy. So when Sam was sent north to the wall, his younger brother became the heir of his family's keep, even though the younger brother wasn't the older brother. Well, now the older brother has a son. Uh-oh. How do you think Sam's younger brother is going to feel about this new possible person in line stealing his place as the heir to Horn Hill?
It makes a lot of sense, for them, there's a lot of stakes, but I just compared to what we've been seeing, I hope if it happens, it happens really quick, yep. And we don't spend too much time on it, because we gotta get down. We got to get to business here. So, actually, I agree. That's what we're going to see. Now that I think about it.
All right. That's exactly what we're going to see.
That's exactly what you agree on. Well, I don't know if we've got any others. You know, that goes by fast on Periscope. So, I did see somebody predicted that Qyburn would prescribe Beano to somebody. I don't know who they're going to Pycelle.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that would be appropriate. Doesn't he already prescribe him? Doesn't he make up a little blue powder for him?
He
uses the tiny blue powder. He comes up, I never did. I need the tiny blue powder.
Pycelle does not need help.
That was, by the way, the best Pycelle ever.
That wasn't bad. That wasn't actually bad. No, I think I think if anything, Qyburn would whip up a little Miralax, a little laxative for Pycelle,
right.
Because he's not going to prevent any embarrassment for Pycelle.
Thank you guys so much for listening to our feedback show. Once again, if you want to reach us on Twitter, you can reach me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
You can hit me up at CJGman67. And just one last crazy prediction. Dadsy, our good old friend Dadsy, says Tommen is the lost silver harp because all he does
is get
played.
Extraordinary.
And please go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcast. Join the conversation there. We want your feedback on how to make this feedback show better and wonderful for you. So you'll see us Sunday night on Periscope after the East Coast airing of HBO's Game of Thrones. And you can always download us on
the Joffrey of Podcasts.
No editing needed there.